You look at verses 1 through 10 this morning. Second Corinthians 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear witness, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, beseeching us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we besought Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the earnestness of others, and approve the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And in this I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be willing a year ago. This morning I want to speak on a very important subject, the subject of Christian giving. God has called us as believers not to be people who simply take, but people whose lives are demonstrations of love. And biblical love is centered around giving. And as we look at this morning, the apostle makes it very clear that what he is giving them was not a command. A command where he comes and he hits him with a baseball bat and says, this is what you must do. He says that in verse 8, I speak not by commandment. Rather, he says, I want to teach you from two different illustrations what it means to be in love with God so much that your life reflects giving. The two illustrations are, number one, a church in Macedonia, and number two, the illustration of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 1 and 2, when we read, he says, moreover, brethren, we make known unto you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, recognize what it's saying, that God gave grace unto the church at Macedonia. In other words, as God poured out his grace on that church, how did it respond? Verse 2. How that while they were in a great trial of affliction and abundance of joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. As God showed his grace to them, they responded, even though they were going through some great affliction and they were in deep poverty, yet because of the grace of God, there was tremendous joy in their lives. What a combination. You've got affliction and poverty, and yet it equals joy. Now, the grace of God is the only way people are going to be able to experience that in their lives. We look up in verse 9 and we see another illustration of giving, and that is Jesus Christ. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus Christ had all the riches of heaven. Heaven in which the streets are paved with gold. The walls are made out of precious stone. The gates are made out of pearl. To God, riches are nothing. He has everything. And yet Jesus, with all those riches, took upon a human body of flesh and was born into a family of poverty. Do you know, even when they came to dedicate the Lord Jesus Christ at the temple as an infant, the normal offering that was given as a sacrifice when you dedicated that child back then, you had two different kinds you could give. You had one which was the normal, but then there was a second offering you could give if you were at the poverty level, if you didn't have the normal resources. And I think it's very interesting that when you study in Luke chapter 2 of when they brought Jesus Christ to dedicate him, they brought the poverty level gift. And so the God of all riches took upon a human body and didn't have anything as far as material wealth. And yet Christ gave himself, the greatest gift man has ever seen. Therefore, Christian giving is something that the world will never understand. And as a believer, as you learn to give of yourself and to give of your resources, the world is never going to understand what this is all about. Because it is, in fact, a supernatural gift of God to you. Going back again to verses 1 and 2, it makes it very clear that they gave of themselves and of their resources because of the grace of God in their lives. And so this morning, as we look at Christian giving, I want you to think in terms of God in your salvation gives you grace to give of yourself. But I want you to ask yourself this question. As a Christian, am I using the grace God has given me in giving? Let's look at several reasons why Christian giving is so important. Number one, Christian giving is a test of your character. It is a test of your character. Follow with me here. For you to get something, for you to go out and acquire something, is a test of your ability. That is simply a test of your ability. You go out, you pursue something, you say, I want that, so you go out and you work for it and you get it. That's simply a test of your resourcefulness, your ability, getting. However, giving of yourself and of your resources is something completely different. While getting is a test of your ability, giving is a test of what you're made of. It is a test of your character. Let me illustrate this. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, beginning in verse 16. And he, Jesus, spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no place to bestow my crops. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. When then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Here's what I want you to see. In his getting what he wanted, whether it be planting the crops or building the barns, he set his mind to it and he went after it. And getting was to a great extent based on simply his ability, his resourcefulness. This guy knew how to manage. He knew what he was after. He knew how to get the money to build the barns. He brought in the crops and he did it all himself. And he said, look at what I've done. But that just showed the fact that this man had some talents, some abilities as far as money management and bringing in crops. But it doesn't tell us a thing about his character. Or does it? This man had lots of ability, but he didn't have character before God. He had no love for others demonstrated here. No giving involved. The man had ability, but he had no character. He knew how to turn a profit, but he did not. There is nothing to show any care for others except, this is what I will do. And then I will sit back and say to my soul, soul, eat, drink, and be merry. He wasn't taking it in to give it out. He was taking it in for himself. Just the opposite of what Christian giving is all about. You see, giving reveals the heart of the giver. It reveals the heart of the giver. The rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18, if you want to just turn over a couple chapters, came to Jesus Christ. In verse 22, Jesus had heard what this man had accomplished. In verse 20, it says, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And the young man answered and said, all these things have I kept since my youth up. He says, I have gone out and I have pursued to the best of my ability to do these things. And it showed the man was resourceful. But Jesus said to him, verse 22, yet lackest thou one thing. In other words, you've accumulated lots of things, but you lack one thing. Here's what you lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You see, giving reveals the heart of the giver. This young man thought he was a Christian. He thought he was a Christian because he had done his very best to try and keep the Ten Commandments. But Jesus knew what his heart was like. And Jesus exposed what his true heart was like when he said, sell everything you've got and become my disciple. And he walked away. Why? Because we found out what his heart was really like. It wasn't one full of the grace of God that wanted to give. Man looks at the gift. God looks at the giver. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Jesus visited the temple a lot. And he was at the temple one day in Mark 12, beginning in verse 41. And he just sat down and watched people for a while. He sat opposite the treasury. And behold how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, this poor widow has cast in more than all they who have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Man looks at the gift. God looks at the giver. This poor widow was down to only two mites. That is, was their smallest form of currency in that day. It is worth so little compared to our currency that we don't even have anything that small. Our penny was worth probably 20 or 30 times as much as this little piece of currency. And all she had was two mites. And Jesus was just kind of sitting there watching people as they came by. Instead of taking an offering like we do, they had baskets along the wall. And people would come in and they would just walk in and they would drop their giving into those baskets. And people were very flashy about it. Sometimes men would walk up and they would have a whole group of people with them. And he would hire young men to carry the money that they were going to give. They would have it made into small change. And these guys would come carrying in these great big bags of money and drop them into the baskets so that everyone could hear the noise and say, "Wow, look how much they gave." And this type of thing was going on, and Jesus looked at it and leaned over to his disciples and said, "You know, you've seen all those people give big amounts of money. But did you see that widow lady?" He said, "Did you know that she gave more than any of the others?" And they gasped. They thought, "No way, no way. She just had two mites." And Jesus said, "They gave out of their abundance." In other words, they don't even feel what they gave. But what she gave cost her. I wonder in our giving, do we feel it at all? Is our giving small enough that where we say, "Well, we can do that and it doesn't affect us"? There's no faith involved. This woman, Jesus praised because it illuminated what this woman was all about. She understood the grace that God gives in giving, not only of herself, but of her resources. She trusted God to meet her needs. And in essence, she was saying, "God, you have everything of mine." Maybe you're familiar with the term, you know, because it's a biblical term, people will say, "Well, I'll throw in my two mites." There was a man, a church was had things set up a little bit differently than we do here, and a church was planning their giving for the year, and one of the men in the church that wasn't terribly involved said, "Well, I'll throw in my mite." And a very smart person who was working with him said, "Great, that's fantastic. I'm going to put you down for 50% of your income." The woman gave two mites. She gave all she had. He said, "I'll give a mite." He said, "I'll put you down for 50% of your income." That man thought twice about his careless words. You see, he was simply saying, "Well, I'll chip in something." And Jesus said, "No, if I have given you life, if I have given you a reason to live, if I give you a home in heaven forever, how can we be chintzy with God? How can we just throw in a couple dollars when it comes to our monetary resources for what God has done?" Giving reveals the heart of the giver. It reveals what you're all about. And listen, that's a testimony. That's a testimony. The manager of a business in Canada, it was a business that was owned by a company in Europe, over in England. And the Canadian business was going through some down times. And they sent one of the company managers over from England to check on it with the authorization that based on what he found out, find out if the company is just having a lull right now and it's been handled properly, or go through the books and find out if it's been mismanaged and that's why they're struggling. Find out the cause and then make your decision whether to close that office or not. He got there and he asked for the books, and the man who was running that office was a Christian man and very graciously said, "Sure, I'll take you into the safe. I'll show you the books and you can make your decision based on what. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have." So the man from England went in and he sat down and he looked at the books, and he had gone through several of them, and he came to, I believe it was probably the third book, and it was an unusual book. And when he opened it, on the first page he read, "The tenth of all that I possess, I give to the Lord." And he looked at the neat figures that followed, and he didn't understand it. And he went and he called the manager of the branch in, and he said, "Would you please explain this?" And the manager was a little embarrassed. He said, "I'm sorry." He said, "That's my personal book of my giving." He said, "I didn't realize that you were going to see that." The man looked at that local manager without a word. He put the books back in the safe, and he wired England, and he said, "Keep the branch open. This man understands the proper use of money." Now, what a testimony. That was something that was unplanned, unscheduled. But when that man from England saw that here's a man that had his priorities straight, there was not mismanagement involved. It was properly taken care of. And so, what are we saying? The ability to give is given by God. It is a grace given by God. And we can use it or abuse it. It's a test of character. Number two, giving is a test of concern. It shows us what we're concerned about. It demonstrates where our priorities are. Number one, it's a test of concern for the Lord and His cause. In verse, going back to our original text in 2 Corinthians 8, we read in verse 2 that the church in Macedonia became very concerned about the Lord's work. They were in love with God. They were in love with the things that God was doing in the lives of others. And as they were demonstrating that, it showed in their liberality. While they were in great trial and affliction, the abundance of their joy showed itself with their liberality. Now, why in the world did they have joy? They had joy because as they used the grace of God, they saw God's blessing in their lives. And as they used the grace of God in their lives and they saw God's blessing, their love for the Lord increased. That's why they had joy. Their concern for the things of the Lord were even above their own necessities. They were concerned for the Lord. Secondly, I see that they were concerned for the church and its work. They sent a gift to another church that was in financial trouble. They were a poor church themselves, but they heard about another church that was being persecuted and was having to almost meet underground, and they had some of them had lost their jobs because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And they heard about, here's others who are serving God and they're being faithful, and men have fired them because of their faith in Jesus Christ. We don't have much, but we want to give to them. They were concerned about God's church and its work. Let me ask you, how concerned should we be about the Lord's church and the work of it? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27 says, the passage is talking about husband and wife relationships. It says, husbands, love your wife, but get this, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How important is the church to Jesus Christ? He gave his life for it. How important is the church to Jesus Christ? He has totally given of himself to it. We go back to our text in 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. God says, even as I write to you as a church in Corinth, don't you realize how much Jesus gave of himself to you? He loves you and has given himself for you. We might ask ourselves also how much we love the church and we support the church. If Christ did die for the church, should not our love reflect that type of love for God's house and his body of local believers? So we see God, it shows our giving, demonstrates our love for the Lord. Secondly, it demonstrates our love for the church and its work. Third of all, it demonstrates our love and concern for the lost. It demonstrates our concern for the lost. Jesus Christ gave his life for the lost. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I see a Christian who probably spends more money during the week on candy and Pepsi and whatever, just things that are nice and there's nothing wrong with them, but when they can spend more on that than what they give to the Lord, I ask, where's the concern? Do they really believe that there is a world out there that is lost? That if they die, they'll go to hell without Jesus Christ? Do we really believe that what the missionaries are doing is a vital work in the world? And yet we don't give. We don't support. They can barely make ends meet because we live on this side of the ocean. And we say, well, we'll drop them a few dollars. But we really don't want to take care of them. And we've got to come back and say, why? What is my giving all about? Do I view giving as something that is required of me and that I just have to get done and get over with so that my conscience won't bother me? Or do we view giving as a demonstration of my concern for the lost? Do you picture when you give that that is a vital part of the gospel going to someone who may never hear the gospel otherwise? When you give, do you picture our missionaries in Japan? The fact that when you give, you are allowing them to take tracts and to go out into the communities and to hand out tracts to people who have never heard the gospel before. It shows our concern. So giving, it's a test of our character. It's a test of our concern. Third of all, giving is a test of our choice. You see, we're making choices every day. You made a choice when you got up and you came to church this morning. You made a good choice. You made a choice that is honoring to God. But we're making choices every day. But when it comes to Christian giving, using the grace that God has given to you to give to others of yourself and of your resources, you're making choices. Number one, you're making a choice between mammon and God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Look in verse 24. It says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, what does giving do? Giving helps you make a distinction between who is your God. Giving helps you to look and say, who really is my master? Is the money my master, or is the Lord my master? If the Lord is my master, then the money, I look forward to being able to give to the ministry of those who are carrying out the work of God. It's not only a test of making a choice between mammon and God, but secondly, it is making a choice between ourselves and others. Making a choice between ourselves and others. Dr. H.A. Ironside used to tell this following story. He told it at a Bible conference one year. He says, a small Christian church was holding a convention. A group of churches were holding a convention. And outside the auditorium, there was displayed the motto, Jesus Only. But a strong wind came along and blew the first three letters off of the word Jesus, and all that read was us only. And I think that's often the spirit that is shown. I'm concerned about me. I'm concerned about my wants and my desires. And I never think about, what does God really want to do with my money? You see, that's a legitimate question. What does God want to do with my money? Because it's really His money. He owns everything. I am His servant. I am His ambassador. He gives me what I need, but He gives me the responsibility of, now what are you going to do with what I have supplied you with? Giving is demonstrating every time you make the decision, what am I going to give? It's helping you to see yourself. Am I the important one, or are others the important one? Let me tell you something else that giving makes a choice on. Giving is making the choice between peril and safety. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Our greatest safety to protect us against the sin of covetousness is giving. When you make the choice of giving versus keeping it for yourself, you are helping to protect yourself against one of the greatest sins, which is covetousness. Last week we looked at a life that was controlled by covetousness. We looked at Lot. Lot made a simple decision that didn't seem to be a big deal when he looked over the plains of all the land when he was with Abraham and he said, I want this land because it's well watered and it will do me fine. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And that sin of covetousness, of saying, this is the better, this is what I like, it appeals to my eyes, I don't care what Abraham needs, I'm going to take that. And by making that decision, it led him on a road that we saw totally destroyed his life and caused his daughters to be immoral and his wife to turn into a pillar of salt, all because of covetousness. Now what does giving do? It's our greatest safety against the sin of covetousness and other evils by our giving. The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. What does it do? It leads to lying, it leads to stealing, it leads to gambling, it leads to robbing, it leads to murdering, it leads to kidnapping, it leads to even forgetting about God. Because we covet something. 2 weeks ago, not 5 miles from my house, a man was murdered in his own garage by an intruder. They had broken into his house to steal. He surprised them when he came in the garage. He had been away, and they killed him. Some of my friends lived next door to him. You see, covetousness caused those people, number one, to break into someone else's house and take something that did not belong to them, but number two, it led to the murder of an innocent person. Covetousness controls us if we're not ready. Maybe you watched with amusement what happened in Illinois and in Pennsylvania the last 2 weeks with the lottery.
As the lottery kept getting bigger, people started purchasing additional tickets, and it went over 100 million in Pennsylvania. Why? Because all it did was unearth covetousness. It unearthed how greedy they were. And I wish we could find out the statistics of how many people did not take care of their families because they were coveting and spent the money on tickets. I wish we could find statistics to show the truth about that. But you see, giving is a choice. It's a choice. Number four, giving is a test of confidence. It's a test of confidence. The test is this. Do I have confidence in God and His ability to take care of me when I put Him first? It's a test in confidence. Can I give to God first and what is rightfully His? And do I have confidence in Him that He will keep His word and take care of me? Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." My heart grieves when I talk with people and they say, "I don't have time for church. I don't have time for a prayer meeting. I don't have money to give because I've got to take care of my family." And God says, "But if you would seek me first, I make a promise to you. I will meet your needs." And you see, giving, every time you open your wallet and you give to God, it is a test of your confidence in Him. If we give just a token gift to God rather than what we really ought to be giving to Him, demonstrating our love, it is saying, "God, I don't have the confidence in You that You can really take care of me." But you know, when we give to God, you cannot lose. You believe that? Do you believe when you give to God, you cannot lose? A man named Mr. M. O. Owens from North Carolina relayed this story. He said, "I have a friend whose father was very wealthy. When he died, he left a large estate and named his brother, who was a lawyer, as the executor. He also had an insurance additionally named specifically to his wife when he died of $25,000. When they were settling the estate, the wife said, 'We've got all the money we need already. I'm going to just give that $25,000 to our foreign missionaries at church.'" And so she did. She just wrote out the check for that extra life insurance, $25,000. She just gave it to the pastor and said, "I want you to split that among the missionaries." Well, her son was very upset with that. And he said, "I don't like that idea, Mom." But she was insistent. She said, "We don't need it. Your dad left it all the money we could ever use." She did it. Later, the brother, who was the lawyer who was handling the family finances, made some terrible investments and lost their money. And they were almost down to literally being penniless. The investments went totally down. The son came to his mother and said, "Mom, what if we would have only kept that $25,000? I tried to warn you. If we would have kept it, look at where we would be today." And she said, "Son, I want you to think. If we would have kept that $25,000, it would have also been lost in those investments. But because we gave it to God, we'll never lose that." Now, I think that's a matter of priorities. You see, when you give to God, you're saying, "God, I trust You. I have confidence in You that You will meet our needs." And God did take care of that family. He did not forsake them. That brother made some terrible investments and lost her money, but God went on then to take care of that woman. But that woman never looked back. She never regretted having done it because she realized that money would have been lost along with the rest of it. But by giving it to God, it was used for eternity and would never be lost. The Macedonians church's attitude here is so good because they said, we want to give. We trust God. Even though we are in poverty, we want to give of the things to God. Tom Malone, who's a pastor up in Michigan, says that one day a man walked up to him and handed him a check for $700. He said, I want you to put that in the offering. He said, God has taken care of me and met my needs, and God has just been convicting me that I haven't given anywhere near what I should have been giving. And he said, I want to start getting caught up. He understood. He said, God is my confidence. I don't have to trust in money. And because of that, I want to demonstrate it by learning how to properly give to God. Another family, when it came to a matter of trusting and having confidence in God, a young married couple, the man had his own small business, and he and his wife had made a decision on what they were going to give for this coming year. And soon after they began to start doing that, the woman got very ill, was in the hospital for a while. The business struggled for several months, and he had to hire someone else to help take care of the business because he had to be with his wife while she was in the hospital. And during that serious trouble, the wife said, you know, honey, we obviously aren't going to be able to give it to God with all the expenses we've got. We're not going to be able to give after all. And the people of the church will understand that we're not able to give. And his answer was this. He said, honey, he said, we started giving before this ever happened. And he said, besides that, it's not a matter of what the people at the church think. He said, this is something we told God we were going to do. And they trusted God in that matter. And God brought them through it. And he taught them some lessons. The Lord was testing their faith to see if they were genuinely sincere regardless of the circumstances. Now, God is very clear. He says, I don't need your money. God doesn't need our money. He's got all the money he needs. He's got everything he wants. But giving is a demonstration of who is in control. It's a demonstration of who we have confidence in. Let me bring this all together with, let me give you a fifth point, and that is, giving is a test of consecration. It's a test of consecration. If you'll look back in our text in 2 Corinthians 8, if you'll look in verse 5, there's a critical word right there. In verse 5 it says, and this they did, not as we had hoped, but even better, first they gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see, giving is a test of consecration. Consecration withholds nothing from God. When we are consecrated to God, we don't withhold a thing. They first of all gave themselves to God. Now listen, when you give yourself, when you genuinely give everything of yourself to God, money is no big deal. It's not a big deal. They first of all gave themselves, and then when it came to giving, even though it cost them something to God, no problem. Why? They had consecrated themselves to God. Since God had them, he had their money. It was that simple. Consecration enables us to go from the minimum of just giving God something token into genuinely giving offerings to God that are above and beyond because we love him. Because we love him. And I'll tell you, when we are dedicated to God so that everything we have is his, it balances everything out. Look in verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, you're abounding in faith,
You're abounding in utterance, you're abounding in knowledge, you're abounding in diligence, and you're abounding in love. See that ye abound in this grace also. He says, when you are consecrated to God, when God has everything, your grace of giving, that special Christian giving that the world doesn't understand why you want to give to God, that becomes on equal plane with your faith, with your love to others, with your knowledge and your diligence. It says, may you also abound in this grace also. Your giving is just as much as the love that you show to one another. Your giving is on the same plane as your care and concern for other things that the Word of God speaks of. Consecration makes our giving on even plane with all other aspects of our Christian life. Giving, it's a special gift from God. Are you developing it? Let's bow our heads.